It's Morning Edition on WNYC. I'm David First. The police response to the attack on the Capitol building last week appeared notably more restrained than the violent crackdown that many protesters for racial justice were met with over the last year. Now, that disparity is bringing renewed focus to the role of race and policing. The WNYC Race and Justice Unit takes a closer look.
I'm Arun Vanigopal, senior reporter for Race and Justice at WNYC, and I've been talking to people who've been on the receiving end of policing.
And I'm George Joseph, and I cover the police side of the equation.
To truly understand the double standard in policing, it's worth going back to a Black Lives Matter protest in June. This was after the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis. This protest took place in the Bronx and was carefully analyzed by Human Rights Watch.
Mott Haven has some of New York City's highest rates of poverty and homelessness, and is one of its most heavily policed neighborhoods.
After reviewing more than 150 videos taken that day by both bystanders and the protesters themselves, Human Rights Watch concluded that the boxing in and subsequent assault of hundreds of peaceful demonstrators by NYPD officers that night amounted to a violation of international human rights law.
Yo, you're corralling us! Where the f*** do we gotta go?
Where do we go?
Where do we f***ing go?
It began with so-called kettling, a controversial policing technique that involves trapping people in so they can't escape.
They have us pushed in a pen. We are trapped. We are trapped right now.
The videos show officers first removing legal observers from the scene. And then they start swinging their nightsticks, bringing them down on people trapped in the kettle. This is Robert Goyanes, a protester.
I saw a friend of mine who was also at the protest that day, and she was just completely covered in blood. Her entire face was totally covered.
In our reporting, we found that the riot gear, kettling, and beatings, and the 260 arrests in Mott Haven were in stark contrast to what we observed on Capitol Hill. And the NYPD's relatively passive approach to white protesters resisting COVID rules in Staten Island and Borough Park. Police were there, but showed restraint and made few arrests, if any.
At a more unconscious level, they just don't perceive of those individuals as threatening, and accordingly, they don't treat them as threats.
That's Yale Law professor James Forman Jr., an expert on the history of policing in America. He says modern police forces grew out of slave patrols, used to track down and subjugate Black Americans. And he says this history still shapes which protesters are viewed as dangerous and which are not.
There's a both sense that Black people are threatening and a sense that the only thing that is going to constrain and restrain them is brute force.
He says for many officers, this feeling is learned subconsciously.
It's Blacks as less than. It's Blacks as criminal. It's Blacks as addicts. Blacks as incompetent. Blacks as not caring about their families or their communities, right? Blacks as people who need to be suppressed and controlled.
These, he says, are the core elements of white supremacy.
If you put people every day in constant contact with folks who are struggling, and you tell those people that the only thing they can do is stop them, frisk them, arrest them, book them, naturally, that's going to reinforce the notion in your mind that these people are all the things the prejudices had already taught you they were.
Pedro Serrano is an NYPD housing officer. But before that, he was a Puerto Rican kid in an Italian section of the Bronx.
So when I look at it now, I sit back and see how racist it really was.
Serrano says that growing up in the 70s and 80s, he always knew that the Irish and Italian cops might roll up on him.
Like them stopping me and throwing me against the wall, talking bad to me, is normal to me back then. Was normal.
Despite all that, Serrano eventually joined the NYPD. It was a good job. And he says over the years, things improved.
More minorities were coming in and things were looking better.
Of the 36,000 officers in the department, nearly half are non-white. Still, a whole generation of sergeants and lieutenants came up in the old NYPD of Serrano's youth. And he says now, in this charged moment, some are showing their true colors.
They'll be talking about all the views about how Black Lives Matter, how they're disgusted with them. And then I'll interject and say, hey, you realize that not all Black Lives Matters are stealing TVs, right?
After supporters of President Trump stormed the Capitol, the NYPD said it is investigating whether any of its officers participated in the attack. Serrano thinks that's a good step, but he's worried about the direction of the department. Last year, the NYPD's largest police union endorsed Trump. Here's the president of that union, Pat Lynch, speaking at the Republican National Convention.
President Trump has never apologized for supporting police officers and standing up for law and order. Unlike the Democrats who froze in the face of rioting and looting, President Trump matches his words with his actions.
He became president, and then all of a sudden you felt things change. People were allowed to speak about things that would never be allowed to speak to.
Which is precisely what the demonstrators last spring and summer were protesting about, reforming the system. Last week's events in Washington only confirmed what many already felt they knew, that the system works differently for different people. Casey Foster watched on television as the mob stormed the Capitol.
The images that are kind of coming to me are that of a lynch mob.
Foster is with Communities United for Police Reform. And he remarked on the cross-section of white Americans who were at the Capitol last week. Grandmothers, children, people of all ages from all around the country.
You really had people across the spectrum of a community that seemed to be there for a violent spectacle.
Foster is Black and says he's been harassed by police officers since he was a boy growing up in New Rochelle. He says the police were there to remind him and other African Americans of their place in the racial order.
In their eyes, and in truth, it's been a white democracy, right, for generations.
Foster is now 38. The mob at the Capitol, as he sees it, was responding to the threat of something that is still relatively nascent and unfulfilled. The creation of a multiracial democracy, led in large part by Black Americans.
And so they're going to the Capitol, they're expecting the police to step aside. The police work for the state. And if the state upholds a white democracy, then in their minds, there's no reason why the police wouldn't step aside and let them in.
Just yesterday, New York State Attorney General Letitia James filed a lawsuit in federal court. Among other things, she's asking the judge to appoint a monitor to oversee the NYPD. I'm Arun Venugopal.
And I'm George Joseph for WNYC.
The NYPD did not respond to requests for comment.